This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 65, all about color casts, how we get them, and how we remove them. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 65th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about color casts, why we get them, how they happen, how to correct them. And we're going to get this information through an interview that I do with fellow photographer Dominic Fizzotto. He's a great wedding photographer in Montreal. We've had him on the show before, and he has loads of knowledge in this regard. But before we get into it, I'd like to thank people for the emails that they sent with regard to our last podcast, Finding Good Photography Subjects, number 64. I received a bunch of emails, actually, and no comments on the blog. Of course, everything you send me is so appreciated. But if you do want to leave a comment about the podcast, the best place to do so is actually on the blog itself. You do actually have to put in your name to leave a comment, but I don't do anything with anyone's names. No spam will ever come your way from me, so you guys have nothing to worry about. It's just nice to read the comments in context with the actual podcasts. So if you want to leave a comment, it's super appreciated all the way around, and it's super, super, super appreciated if it's in the blog itself. The blog, of course, is located at www.photography.ca/blog. Almost all of the most recent podcasts have been suggestions by bulletin board members or by people who listen to this podcast, and that's greatly appreciated. This particular topic, no one actually suggested it, but I thought it was a really important one. A couple of podcasts ago, we discussed calibrating your monitor and your printer and getting good color, and color casts are something that can affect getting good color, so even though no one suggested it, I thought it was apropos that we do one. Especially for new photographers, they may not even know what a color cast is. They just know that their photo looks slightly off. It looks funky. But rather than me talking about it myself, let's just get right into the interview that we recorded with a fellow photographer, Dominic Fizzotto. Let's get right into that now. So I'd like to welcome back a guest that we've had on our podcast before. I'd like to welcome back Dominic Fizzotto. He's a fantastic wedding photographer here in Montreal. He's also a friend, and he's been gracious enough to teach us a little bit about color casts. As a wedding photographer, it's something that he sees a lot of, needs to correct for, and a lot of people have problems with it. So I thought we would get the benefit of Dom's knowledge. So welcome back, Dom. Thanks for agreeing to do this again.
Hey, thank you. Pleasure to be back.
Thanks so much. So let's talk about color casts for a little bit. I know you see them all the time, but newer photographers may have trouble identifying them, seeing them. Let's just go real general at first. Why do color casts happen in the first place?
It's because of color temperature. Now, with digital cameras, we have to actually figure out what color temperature we're working with. So if you haven't done it properly while you're shooting, you're going to have a color cast. That's my opinion.
Okay. Now, you're going to know, of course, that even though you probably don't do this, 99% of people do this. 99% of people are likely to keep their white balance on their digital cameras on automatic white balance. Is that something you do? Likely not. What's your opinion on the automatic white balance to solve some of these problems?
I use automatic all the time, but I do shoot in RAW. It gives me the opportunity to change it later. So I like the flexibility of being able to go back and forth with whatever color temperature I need.
Okay. So when you are correcting for a color cast, you are doing it where? In like Bridge or Camera Raw or a program like Lightroom?
I use Bridge, actually. It opens up Camera Raw. And I do the color corrections in RAW. And so I just slide over my color temperature until I get a right cast. Sometimes there is a cast. I mean, it's not just necessarily a color temperature. It's a mix of colors. And so you want to get rid of one or the other. You've got to make some choices.
That's a good point, actually. A lot of times these casts are a function of reflections, are they not? So if someone's against a brown wall, the brown might show on their face due to a reflection. If someone is on green grass, the grass might cause a cast on their face.
Green grass is definitely a problem. Anything that's green will, you know, just give you a bad, bad color cast. There's not much to solve that except, you know, add a little magenta later. Color casts happen in different layers, like levels. Mid-tone, highlights, shadows. So you've got to decide where, you know, you want to color correct.
And where do you, like, I know your specialty, you're a portrait photographer, you're a wedding photographer, you shoot people like 99% of the time. Are you looking for color casts in specific parts of their face, on their clothing? Where do you look in the picture to determine if there is or isn't a color cast?
Usually in the shadows and highlights. I just make I evaluate the scene, and I make sure that I look at their shadows. I mean, if they're wearing black clothing, I just make sure that it's black and not like magenta or green. I try to adjust that. Probably look in the shadows the most, because highlights are white and bright. I'll deal with the highlights after. I've dealt with the shadows.
Okay, so you won't necessarily look at the whites of the eyes or the whites of the face for the color cast? You'll look more in the black, in the shadows?
It's a mix. It depends. If I've got black to look at, I like black. If I don't have black to look at, then I'll look at the highlights and I'll just say, wow. You know, it's orange, and I'll know that it's orange, and it affects another color. So by it affecting another color, I'll realize that there's a play, which color to correct.
Okay. In terms of the highlights, often scenes will have multiple highlights. Let's say you're shooting a bride outdoors. So there's highlights on her dress. There's highlights on her face. There may be specular highlights throughout the scene. You may see a cloud in the background. Which highlight are you looking for the color cast in? Because depending on where that highlight may be in the shot, there may be multiple casts going on in different highlights in the shot.
Well, my goal is always to look, if I'm doing a person, I mean, my goal is to make the face shine, and that's my goal. But, yeah, I'd probably look in her face. I mean, that'd probably be the best thing to do.
Okay.
It's a little funny question, answer.
Yeah, no, but you have your style of doing things, and you correct for it. But, you know, a lot of people just don't know where to look for it. So those are two good tips, looking in the shadows and looking in the highlights, namely the face if it's a portrait. Because at the end of the day, you know, we need our prints that come out of our monitors, be they from a lab or from a printer. We want them to go from bright white to deep black. And if we don't have a deep black, or that deep black has a cast to it, you're not getting the richness that you should. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Let's talk about the color wheel for just for a little bit. So, you know, as some photographers know and other photographers are learning, light is made up of many colors, and we typically work, especially when we're doing like fine art, are we typically working in more RGB or more CMYK? Can you talk about that just a little bit?
Well, RGB is what we use on our monitors. We wouldn't use CMYK. I think it's a limited palette. But RGB is what we see on our monitors, so that's what we definitely work in. But keep in mind that there's two palettes in terms of colors. There's a painter's palette and a light palette, so they don't actually work the same way.
Right. Let's only talk about the light palette. Mm-hmm. As some of us know, light is made up of three primary colors, red, blue, and green.
Right.
And each of those colors has a complementary color. Complementary color of red is cyan, of blue is yellow, and of green is magenta. So if, for instance, there is a color cast on someone, they're shooting on grass, and the grass is just giving a really big cast to their face. So you may see green in their highlights. You may see green in their shadows. Is that correct so far?
It is.
Okay. So let's say you want to eliminate that green. By eliminating that green, what people need to know is when you take away one of one color, you're automatically introducing another color. Correct as well?
Correct in a way. You have many ways in Photoshop, but you can actually add color with a color balance.
Yep.
And a highlight shadow and a midtones.
Yep.
You know, and that would work. It's additive and subtractive. As you add one, it subtracts another. But you can also do selective color. So if my face, I usually get a lot of pink faces with my camera. And rather than affecting all the colors in the shot, I'll use selective color. And what happens is I'll just take out, you know, magenta in the red channel. And that usually, you know, clears up my problem. I'm very happy. I don't have to touch another color or affect any other colors except for the red channel.
Right. But just so it's clear, especially for newbies, if you diminish magenta, does that by definition mean you are increasing green?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So I guess I just wanted to let people know that that is indeed happening. So at a certain point, let's say you have too much green in the person's face, and you reduce that green in their face, by definition, if you're doing just like a global edit, if you try reducing green on the whole image so that the person's face looks good, the rest of the image may become slightly more magenta?
100%.
100%, yeah. Again, this is just basic color correction, but a lot of people don't know this. And just so we know this as well, So if there's too much green in the face and we take out the green, we are adding magenta. Magenta is made up of blue and red. So we're actually, in addition to adding pure magenta, aren't we also adding just a little bit of blue and a little bit more red into the scene as well?
Of course. And if you added yellow, you would just be adding up density. Like, you can't add all three colors. We learned that in Color Lab.
Yeah, right. Because every color you touch affects its opposite color. So if you're playing with more than one primary color, especially on the color wheel, you're going to get all mucked up, especially if you're doing multiple corrections at one time.
Right. So we essentially touch, you know, one color at a time, see how it affects our screen, and then play with the next color if we have to. We don't play with three colors.
Excellent to know. Let's take a real life example, something that I did actually last year. So I took a backdrop and I placed it outside. And I was photographing kids and there was just no room in the location I was doing. So I brought my stuff. I shot outside. The background was white. It was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The background seemed to take on a bluish cast, likely from the sky. And what happened was the models looked great in front of the backdrop, but when we printed the image, it had a noticeable blue cast. How would you have, let's say you had made that error. Please tell me how you would correct that error, and what would you have done to avoid that error? First, let's go with correcting the error.
Well, the blue cast, I mean, you can simply do it with a color balance or with a color temperature in your RAW. But to avoid something, you can't really, if you're in shade, as I recall, your photos were in shade.
Yeah.
With a white background. I think, from what I learned in my film days, that was ultraviolet light. And so it's hard to get rid of. And while you're shooting, you just got to, you know, shoot it. And then hopefully you're shooting RAW that you can correct it later. And with RAW, you can totally remove the color cast of blue.
You can, but if you are removing that blue cast, again, we really have to select the area where the cast is. Because if we correct globally, we're mucking up all the other tones in the image. Is that right?
Yeah, but it's all subjective. I mean, once I have my face right, I'm just happy. I'm very pleased with the photo. It's a great starting point. I'm not sure I'm that hard on myself about color corrections.
But if, let's say, they were in front of an object, a bride and groom, they were in front of an object, and that object was important to you in the scene, if their face had a color cast, first and foremost, you're going to correct for that. You are going to correct individual channels, individual things in the image. I guess we might be getting slightly advanced, but how do we correct for multiple casts in the image? How would you do it if there was a secondary element other than the face that you felt had a strong cast and you wanted to get rid of it?
Well, you can easily select it, put a feather on the selection, and locally adjust the color, something that I do sometimes. Another option that I do is possibly correct two different layers of the same image, and then use, I kind of erase, put one layer on top of the other, and erase one layer over the other to remove the cast. I corrected two different color corrections. That's one way that you can do it, or you can do it with selective color. You know, there's so many ways to skin a cat, like you've said before, in Photoshop.
No, it's true. It is true, actually. And I guess, you know, instead of erasing, we could also use the opacity of the layer underneath or the layer above to also vary how much of that cast is going to show or not show.
100%.
Yeah. Cool. I think you've answered a lot of our basic questions. Do you have anything that comes to mind that people should know about? Last-minute tips based on all your experience?
My experience with digital is just, it's all about the lighting, really. That's my experience. If you're going to be next to grass, I mean, maybe you want to shoot in a little reflector. Sometimes I'm shooting next to grass. I actually cover the grass with white cloth so that it doesn't reflect into my subjects. It's just about being, you know, aware of the color around you. If someone's wearing a blue shirt, that blue shirt will transfer over to the next person's face. So I often tell my clients to wear neutral colors, you know, not boring colors, but, you know, not purple and not, you know, red either. So it's a lot easier to work with later.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. Anything come to mind for subjects other than people? Let's say people are shooting landscapes or people are shooting, I don't know, macro stuff, still lives. Any tips come to mind with those setups as well?
Well, if you're shooting still lives, I mean, you definitely have control of the light. Being inside or outside, you can use reflectors, and the light source is, you know, you would balance your light source, your main light source. And, you know, if you did have, you know, secondary light sources hitting the subjects, you could fix that later. locally. But once you fix your main light source, I think you're pretty much done. I mean, it's a good, you're almost home.
Okay, and in general, we want to do as much of this as possible before we bring it into Photoshop, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, our life is a lot easier when we correct these problems at the source. Is that correct?
100% correct. There's just not enough time you could spend in front of a computer. I mean, it never ends. So you'd want to, you know, shoot it properly and have everything in your corner so you can, you know, do a great job.
That's great. That's great. Thanks so much for that, Dom. If people want to check out your site, I know it's www.domphoto.com. Dom has some really beautiful wedding photography shots there. I'm going to put a link into the show notes as well. And I certainly hope people learned a little bit from this. Would you be so kind as maybe to let us use an image or two with a cast and not a cast, just so people can get the idea of a before and an after image?
It'd be my pleasure. Just let me know what you need.
Excellent. Thanks as always, Dom. We'll let you go, and we hope to speak to you again in the near future.
Alrighty.
Thanks a lot. And so I'd like to thank Dominic one last time for that great information. As we mentioned in the podcast, though, there's a lot of ways to remove color cast, and Dom and I just talked about a couple of them. You could just Google this topic, and loads and loads and loads of info is going to show up. You can also use a hue and saturation, and that's one way that we didn't talk about. So let's say you notice a blue cast in somebody's face, you can actually choose the blue channel from within the hue saturation dialog box. I'm talking here about Photoshop, but I know other programs as well have hue saturation boxes, dialog boxes. You can use hue saturation to control many, many things. You can also use hue and saturation to control color casts. So there's multiple ways, of course, to do the same thing. We just wanted to present a few of them for you. If you've been listening to recent podcasts, I'm trying to encourage people, especially lurkers, that go onto our bulletin board to join. You know, we're really a friendly bunch. I say this time and time again, but every week it amazes me just what a friendly bunch we really are, especially because we pay so much attention to it. If someone's really rude, they're gone. So newbies in particular should not be afraid to join our forum. We love having newbies. We love to teach newbies. I love to teach newbies. We were all newbies once, right? Everyone was a newbie, so we just try and foster good learning on our forum. Each month in our forum, we have particular assignments. I don't think I mentioned last podcast, but this month, the assignment is taking a portrait, and a lot of bulletin board members have already posted some creative portraits. So if you're just lurking, I recommend you join and post a little bit. You know, we'll give you gentle criticism if you want it, and if you don't, we'll try not to give it to you. If you like this podcast and you want to get it automatically, of course, there are subscribe buttons on the front page of the blog, photography.ca/blog. One click gets you all the podcasts automatically. And if you told two friends about this podcast or photography.ca, I surely wouldn't mind that either. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. As always, if you want to send me anything, our best email address here is photography.ca@gmail.com. Weather's great these days. Creativity is abounding these days. So just get out there, do whatever you got to do. Slap on the right lens or the wrong lens. Set yourself up with a theme or just go shoot spontaneously. But just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone.